Hello, everybody. This is Brittany, and I'm going to be your moderator tonight. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question or comment for Senator Hughes or any of his guests, press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad. We'll open up for live comments after brief presentations, and we'll also have some poll questions for you to answer during our call. Now let's welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Brittany, and thanks to everybody who's participating in tonight's call. As Brittany indicated, I'm State Senator Vincent Hughes, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing preparing for the upcoming school year. And obviously, given the challenges that COVID-19 has presented us and the failed response coming from the White House, we are all on our own in terms of how we deal with making sure that our children get the best education they can in a very, very difficult circumstance, We've got some experts in academia in the process and the way to educate our children and can provide us resources, individuals that I'm sure some of these names are familiar to you. They are from the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, and they've spent an incredible amount of time over the last 5.5 to 6 months preparing us for this kind of conversation and how we need to be thinking about how we should be educating our children. We'll hear from them shortly. There's some housekeeping that we have to do. If you want to make a comment, please press *3 on your phone. If you want to make a comment, press *3 on your telephone, and that'll get you in the comment queue. A couple other things that we need to get addressed, and the first issue that I want to make sure that folks take as an action step, an action item, and this is hugely important, and I need everyone to write this down and be prepared to get fully engaged as soon as this call is over, and we should be finishing up somewhere around 7:05 or 7:10 p.m. First, right now in Washington, D.C., there's a major negotiation that's going on between Speaker Pelosi and the person occupying the White House and Mitch McConnell around how we can fund, how we can provide more dollars, how the federal government can provide more dollars for our cities, our states, and our school districts, in addition to providing more unemployment compensation money and other resources around COVID-19. Many of you have seen this conversation play out in the news. You've seen it. You've watched it. What we need you to do is jump from watching and to get into action. Get into action. There is a huge difference between what could potentially be available. The House and Speaker Pelosi have offered up a program called the HEROES Act for $3 trillion. The Senate and McConnell, Mitch McConnell, have offered up an alternative that would provide $1 trillion. So it's a huge difference between $3 trillion and $1 trillion. And as it relates to education, those dollars that are in the $3 trillion package, which is obviously $2 trillion more than the $1 trillion package, those are the dollars that will flow to school districts all across the nation, and especially to our Philadelphia school district, to get them the additional resources necessary to deal with a tremendous financial crisis that exists in the Philadelphia school district, the city of Philadelphia, and the state of Pennsylvania. So we need folks who are listening to this call to call U.S. Senator Pat Toomey, who was our other U.S. Senator, at 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, and demand from him that he supports the HEROES Act passed by Speaker Pelosi in the House of Representatives, which they passed about 2 months ago, and the Senate has sat on their hands and not taken any action and tried to negotiate this. So 202-224-3121, first order of business. Please call United States Senator Pat Toomey and say we need the $3 trillion in the HEROES program and not the $1 trillion in the HEALS program, which is vastly insufficient to get us the resources that we need. If we don't get a robust package out of Washington, D.C., if we do not get the kind of money necessary out of Washington, D.C., our schools will suffer and our children will suffer for generations to come, because that's the kind of devastation that is going on, that we need the extra investment, not a minimal investment. So first order business, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, and demand from United States Senator Pat Toomey that he support the HEROES Act. We're not asking you to call Senator Casey, United States Senator Bob Casey, because he has already publicly indicated that he supports the HEROES Act, does not support the HEALS Act. He supports the HEROES Act, and that's what we need. All eyes, all attention should be paid toward United States Senator Pat Toomey and get him to get on the, if you will, to borrow a phrase from the past, to get on the good foot and do the right thing and get that $3 trillion, because our children need it, and we need him to act in accordance with the needs of our children. So we've gotten that piece of business taken care of. Obviously, folks should be, if you are not registered to vote, VotesPA.com is the website to go to, VotesPA.com. Call 877-VOTES-PA, all right? If you need your vote-by-mail application, if you need that ballot sent to you, go to VotesPA.com. You can apply for it there, or you can call 877-VOTES-PA, 877-VOTES-PA. We are not playing with this voting thing. We need everybody to get their vote-by-mail application in and to get it done immediately, all right? We don't want to get caught up with in a compromised U.S. Postal Service system and worry about doing it at the last minute and never get the opportunity to cast our vote. This is the most important election in our lifetime, and we need to act like it. So make sure that you get your vote-by-mail application request in now. Make sure you get it done now, VotesPA.com or 877-VOTES-PA. If you have not filled out your census, and I'm sorry to my guests, but I'm taking advantage of the moment, all right? If you have not filled out your census form, 2020census.gov, 2020census, census.gov is how you can get that done online, or you can call 844-330-2020, 844-330-2020. And in fact, the Census Bureau is still hiring people, and they're paying at least $24 an hour to help folks come help out with the census program. So if you need a job, go to that website, call that phone number. But if you haven't filled out your census form, get that census form done immediately. Again, nothing more important than that. Get that census form done immediately. If we're undercounted on the census, we have less representation in Washington. We have less representation in Harrisburg. We have less representation in city council if we're not counted. If we're not counted, we don't get the resources that are necessary for our school children, for our schools, and for our communities, because we're not counted appropriately. We're not counted at the numbers that actually exist within our community. So, 2020census.gov, 844-330-2020. And right now, all across the city of Philadelphia, all across the state, and all across the country, black and brown folks are being undercounted in the census. And it starts with us first. We got to get on the stick. We got to make sure that we're getting counted. We got to make sure tangentially and very directly that we are registered to vote and utilizing our vote-by-mail application and not waiting to the last minute. So I've gotten the housekeeping done. I've gotten the housekeeping cleared. Remember, if you have a comment that you want to make, or most importantly, a question that you want to ask, this is an education-focused telephone town hall, press star 3. Star 3 is what you need to press, and we'll get you in the queue. We're going to ask our guests to make a brief opening comments, then we'll turn it open to the folks who've already checked in, and it will start running through some of these questions. Sandra Dungey-Glenn, who has been a longtime excellent educator in the city of Philadelphia, also serves on the State Board of Education, is on the line with us this evening. Sandra, say hello to the constituents of the 7th Senatorial District, many of you who you know extremely well.
Absolutely. First of all, good evening, Senator, and good evening to the constituents of the 7th Senatorial District. And, Senator, I want to thank you for hosting this town hall meeting and partnering with us on this effort and this conversation tonight. Can I give a couple of opening remarks just to set the stage?
Absolutely. Please do.
Thank you. Myself and a couple of people you will be hearing from are members of the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, which is a group of African-American community leaders, business leaders, and elected officials from across the city. The purpose and the work of the group is to develop and execute a collective agenda that positively impacts the African-American community. We know when COVID-19 closed schools last March, it created a crisis for students and their families. Our children lost hundreds of hours of learning time. In addition to that, students, families, and school staff also had to deal with the stress, the trauma, and the added pressures from living with the pandemic. But the real talk is, we were in an educational crisis even before the pandemic. Two-thirds of Philadelphia elementary and middle grade students were below grade level in reading, and reading is the foundation skill for all other learning. We have a digital divide that shows up as two-thirds of children in some parts of our city not having any access to the internet. The COVID-19 has made that crisis bigger and deeper. And there's even a name for it, COVID slide. Research is telling us that on average, the average student may be academically 7 months behind where they would have been if schools were open. For Black students, the learning loss may equal 10 months. In addition to that, there's an enormous increase in the level of stress and anxiety that children and families are under due to the pandemic. So however schools open this fall, we know that families and schools can't handle all of this by themselves. So the community stakeholders have pulled together a group of volunteers to begin to figure out how the community can help. We're not helpless. The Black community isn't helpless. We have churches, we have businesses, we have community organizations, we have teachers and other professionals who are ready to help. And we're putting a plan together. We have some ideas, but we need to hear from the parents and caregivers directly, and that's why we're here tonight. What are the programs and services that you and or your child need so learning can happen? Is it a safe place to do schoolwork? Is it homework help? Do you need sample lessons or access to counseling and therapy? Let us know what it is. We want you to share your recommendations, and as we go through this session tonight, complete us a brief survey so that we understand better how we can best help in this crisis. So I thank you for that, and now turn it over to my colleague, Dr. Cassandra Jones.
Good evening, and thank you, Senator, and thank you to all who've joined us this evening. We just want to give an overview of school scene and schools that are opening. And then again, underscore what Sandra Dungey-Glenn has said in terms of hearing from you. So we know the schools are going to reopen in a few weeks. And we want to make sure that whether you are an essential worker who's been called back to work and you have to figure out how to have support for your child at home when you have to go to work or even in the evenings, whether you have a child in kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, we need to hear your recommendations. If you have a child with special needs who needs medication during the day, what are the things that, you know, because as Sandra said, we are not helpless, but we also have you. In the list of everyone and everything that she listed, we have all of these great minds, people who live this every day. And we want to hear your recommendations. We need to hear your recommendations. We need to hear your thoughts. So it's nothing that could be too small or insignificant. We need to hear from you, and it will be critical. On Wednesday, September 2nd, the School District of Philadelphia is going to reopen the schools, and it's going to be virtual, so all online. And we know that we experienced that in March. We want to know, what lessons have you learned and what things have you discovered that you need to be able to do to help your child have a successful, safe, productive school year academically, and thinking of the social, emotional things that you need. And the school district is going to stay on virtual 100% at least through November 17th. For the archdiocese, the school bells are going to start ringing on Wednesday, September 9th. And those schools are looking at a blended model for their high schools. So teachers and students will be on site. The students will be on site half the time, and then the other half of the time, they'll be home learning virtually. So what's that impact? While they will get 180 days of instruction in the core areas mandated by the state, that's still going to have an impact. And what do you need to make sure you it's working for you? The elementary schools are going to be grouped by grade levels, and they're going to split their time in the classroom and then in increasing space so that they can control the large crowds of students. And then if you're in a public charter school in Philadelphia, they're doing either a hybrid model where students will come to school a few days a week and then they'll work home virtually a few days a week, or some are doing all virtual. And so what we strongly encourage is, if you don't know, because it's only a few weeks away, contact the school and find out which system they're going to use, which platform they're going to use, so that you can access it. So we're listening today. We're listening because we need to hear from you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dawn.
Thanks so much, Dr. Jones. And thank you, Senator Williams, again, for having us this evening and for organizing this very important
topic. I don't know what senator that was. I think it's Senator Hughes, but go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Senator Hughes, for organizing such a very important telephone town hall meeting and continuing to make children and families a top priority here in the city of Philadelphia. So the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders COVID-19 Education Recovery Plan was developed by a group of educators representing the three largest systems of education in our city, including the School District of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Public Charter Schools, and the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Schools. This group came together as volunteers to develop this education working group and identify different types of support services that we felt might be helpful to children and families as we all prepare for virtual learning this fall. These types of services include, but are not limited to, support with transitioning students from middle school to high school, support with transitioning from high school to career readiness or college, and a help center, which would be a centralized space where the community can find and share educational and social and emotional resources needed to support children, teachers, and the community. The resources could include, but again, it's not limited to, educational packets or kits, which could be obtained online or in person, do-it-yourself hands-on learning projects, tutorial resources, and the ability to reach a skilled staff person to help navigate unanticipated challenges, either by phone, by the internet, or in person, of course, socially distanced, face-to-face meetings. So tonight, we would, as my colleagues have said, love to hear from parents and guardians to share with us any recommendations or information that would be helpful to you as parents in supporting your child and ensuring they have a successful school year. We know that education systems alone cannot do this work, which is why we as a community want to step up and provide additional support. However, we want to make sure the plan that we've put together is exactly meeting the needs of the parents and the families and the children who will benefit from them. So if you haven't yet, please press *3 and share what recommendation you have. And from what we've shared with you thus far, please let us know if you think we're on the right track or if there are other things that we should be thinking about. Again, thank you, Senator Hughes, for giving us this wonderful opportunity and for, again, making children a priority.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate you. Appreciate your commitment. Thank you, Dr. Cassandra Jones. Appreciate you and, of course, your commitment. Of course, Sandra Dungey-Glenn, always appreciate you and your commitment and your focused commitment, all three of you, on the success of our children, which quite frankly translates to the success of our community and, in fact, all communities. Brittany, I think we're going to remind folks one more time that if they want to post a question, they should go to *3 on their phone, and that's how they can get a chance to get in the queue for asking questions. *3. This will not be our only time we talk about education going forward, but we will obviously be focused on this on numerous weeks over the next couple of months. There is a serious academic challenge that all children are facing, and of course, the children in the 7th Senatorial District have some extra burdens that we want to try to make sure that we release from them so they can be as successful as possible and as successful as we need them to be. So, Brittany, let's go to the phones. Let's hear what people are thinking, and let's open it up. All right?
You got it. All right. First, we're going to hear from Carolyn, who's a school bus driver.
Okay. Hey, Carolyn, how are you?
Carolyn? I'm fine, Senator Hughes. How are you?
I'm doing fine, all things considered.
Okay. My question is, I am a school bus driver. I drive for a charter school. Mm-hmm. As you know, I have anywhere from 35 to, say, 50 children, say, on the bus. I'd like to know, how are we to, say, space the children, say, on the bus? Where are we going to get the supplies so far as, you know, keeping the bus clean? Because what I have been doing, and other bus drivers as well, we have been supplying, like, the brooms and, you know, getting disinfectant and that sort of thing, you know, to keep the buses clean. So my thing is not only, say, the safety of us as bus drivers, but I'm thinking about, the safety and the cleanliness on the bus for our children as well. So my big concern right now are, say, the children, because, you know, they're mm-hmm. like almost sitting on top of one another as it is on the bus. So I'd like to know how we're going to space them.
Let me ask Dr. Jones or Sandra or Dawn, any one of our guests, has there been any directive coming out to the schools with respect to how to manage the bus situation?
So, Senator, I just wanted to...
Hold on, Sandra. Mm-hmm. Carolyn?
Yes.
There's a lot of... I think that's your phone and maybe a lot of background noise there. We may have to ask you to just listen to the answer, okay?
Sure, fine.
All right. Thank you very much, Carolyn. Go ahead, Sandra.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Senator, first of all, I do want to emphasize and make sure everybody's very clear that neither Cassandra, Dawn, or I are with the school district. We are community members who have been working on this issue about what else we need to do in addition to whatever the schools are doing to support our children. So I just want to clarify that. But I will say that we have talked with and are talking with the Archdiocese representative, the school district, and even folks from the charter schools. Each of them are handling it differently, so it would be difficult to give a overall answer to the question. My best suggestion for the driver is for her company, all of the companies are supposed to be adhering to guidelines coming out of the CDC and from the State Department of Health. And so contacting the company about that, because district, charter, and archdiocese are each doing it differently. The number of children that are coming back at any given time is different. The school district is all virtual, so they won't be even riding the buses. Each charter school is making its own decision. So it's going to be important for her to work with her company about what their guidelines are for transporting children. But we will be taking all the questions and comments we get back to the appropriate folks and let them know that there's information they need to get out there. But I don't want to misrepresent anything because we
sure.
don't work with the for the school district.
Absolutely. And that's an important point. As you can see, as Sandra indicated, there are several different authorities in all of this dialogue that are making suggestions on how every aspect of the education system should be operating. If you have to take a bus to school, there's, you know, directions on that, in that space. If you have other issues, I see there's some questions about special needs students and what have you. So we want to make sure that folks are connected directly to that entity which has that authority. As a bus driver, you work for a company. The company should be providing some direction. If that company has been hired by a charter operator, that operator has that charter, public charter operator has some direction as well. So just stay close with who, in Carolyn's case, stay close to the company that you're working for. That should provide some direction. If you've got some questions, don't hesitate to give our office a call, 215-879-7777. We'll try to work it out for you. Brittany, who's
next? All right.
Next?
You know, we have a poll. We have a poll question here for everybody on the line.
Okay.
If you would like to answer this question, I'm going to give you the responses and the number that you'll press on your keypad. So our first question, what grade level is your child in? Or if you have more than one, what is the grade level of your youngest? If the answer is pre-K through kindergarten, press 1. If it's grades 1 through 3, press 2. If it's grades 4 through 8, press 3. If it's grades 9 through 12, press 4. And if you don't have any children, press 5. Next, we're going to go to Aisha, who wants to talk about special needs students.
Hey, Aisha, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. What's your question?
Yes, hi, and thank you for having me. My question
sure.
is, I am a parent of a high school student, and I'm also a teacher. And I'm asking the question as to be what support systems can be put in place for parents of students with special needs, which is the teacher that I am. I found with my special needs students, their parents did not have enough support to help their children with their laptops or any type of virtual learning. So is there any type of things coming down the line as to support the parents in helping their children with virtual learning?
Dr. Jones, let me I'm going to point towards yourself in this one and ask for some feedback and some guidance. I just saw an announcement today that there is an expanded level of support coming from some of our corporate friends in the city of Philadelphia. I imagine that they're going to be coming to the state for some assistance as well in the school district around extensive investments in the virtual learning side of the conversation. Now, that obviously has a special impact as it comes to our special ed students, because nuance is not the right word, but it's a different kind of way that you provide academic support virtually for special ed children. Do we have any sense? Clearly, that's a concern that you and Dawn and Sandra need to take back as we, you know, go forward in terms of trying to our organizing and our planning. But do we have any sense right now that we might be able to provide Aisha on how to best respond to that with respect to getting extra help in the virtual space for her special needs children?
Actually, Aisha, we want to hear from you. You are exactly the person that we want to hear from, because, again, as they're opening, they're doing virtual, schools are doing this in very different ways. But you have a child who's special needs, and you are a teacher, so you know the services that have been lacking. And it's one thing to say, well, we think they need this, we think that this, we heard this, but you know. And so what we would really appreciate hearing from you, even if you put it on the chat or you follow up with an email, what are the things that we should be advocating for? What are the things that need to happen so that you as a teacher have the tools that you need, you have the professional development and the sustained support that you need to be able to up the skills you need? What are the technical things that you're going to need for the internet and for Wi-Fi and for those homes where we can't? But then also, as you stated, our special needs students, this is a very new way of them being educated. So what are the things that you've experienced that you can recommend to us so that we can zero in and be an advocate for you because schools are handling it very differently.
Dr. Jones, is there a contact point for the stakeholders? Is there a website, phone number, anything like that, and so that folks can reach out to you directly?
Dawn, Asanja, is there a website for?
So the best way to reach us is via telephone, and people can call 267-888-4165. Again, the number is 267-888-4165.
267-888-4165. It's another way, because we're not going to be able to get to all of our constituents who have questions. I can see that, given the number that are posted so far on the screen. So we want to make sure that folks have the opportunity to call in or send an email or go somewhere so they can get direct access to you all. I'm sorry, Dawn, you want to add another point?
Yes, that there is a there's a survey on your website at senatorvincenthughes.com. And so we have encouraged, I believe you sent out a notification about it because I received the email. Thank you. So we are encouraging people to go to your website and complete that survey where they can also give feedback to us regarding what types of support children and their families need for the fall.
Great, great. Thank you very much. Thanks, Dawn. Appreciate that. 267-888-4165 is a phone number that you can reach out to. Of course, you can always call our office at 215-879-7777, and senatorhughes.com is the website. Brittany, who's next?
All right, we've got another poll question for our guest tonight. This one is, would it be helpful for you to have access to a community education resource center online, by phone, or in person to get academic or social-emotional support for your child or children? Now, if the answer to that question is yes, please press 1. If the answer is no, please press 2. And if you're undecided, press 3. Now, we're also getting some online questions and suggestions here. Olivia suggests that the ELRC gets extra funding to accommodate full-time funding for school-aged children, seeing as though they'll be virtual and parents have to work.
Excellent.
Okay. That was from Olivia. You all got that one, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's go to a live caller. We have Darisa in Overbrook.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Asking that if you have children that don't have the internet, why not have this put on like a television station so everyone can receive it?
Sandra, any thoughts on that one?
Well, first of all, I think that is an excellent suggestion. One of the things, though, that we can't avoid is that there is no reason why we do not have universal internet access in this city and as the home of one of the largest providers. And so there is a demand, and there's a group that actually is working to make sure that we do move to universal internet access and really expanding it so children can have it in the homes. But the other conversation that we have had, idea we did have, and thank you, Doris, because this was in the same direction, was working with our public access station, like the WHYY, about using that as a channel for some of the educational programming. Part of the challenge is, obviously, we have children in every grade, and having enough programming to cover all of them may be a challenge. But that is one of the things we're looking into. And from what the constituents comment, it sounds like that would be helpful so that we would have another means to reach it other than the internet, putting it on some of our public access channels. So that is something that we will look into. Thank you for that recommendation.
Very good point. Very good point. Very good point. Brittany?
All right. Next, let's go to Carol in West Philly.
Hi. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Carol. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, just to piggyback on what she was saying, they can do the core courses for each grade level on the public channels because everyone needs the core courses. That's a suggestion. But what I was saying is that I know this being a grandmother and a caregiver to the children, because my daughter was an essential worker, is that children were frustrated, and me as a caregiver, I had to help other caregivers know how to use Zoom. Everybody uses Zoom who has to do any kind of virtual work. And I think there should be a tutorial, some type of free tutorial via public access TV or the internet, so they can actually know the ins and outs of how to work a Zoom. Everybody can't follow those directions, and sometimes me knowing a little bit about computers, I found that it was sometimes frustrating both for the child and for caregivers, because everybody are at a different level of learning. And also, I would like to suggest, when you're looking at children with special needs, just like you have specialized equipment for children with special needs that still enhance their learning capability, they should somehow be able to adjust the laptop systems for the particular special needs they need, such as magnifying, voice recognition, such as those. So that's what I would like to add to the comments. But my main thing is having a general tutorial broken down in plain language, not given so fast that all caregivers can grasp it, or the children will be able to explain it to their caregivers, because we have some very intelligent children out there.
Yes, we
and
do.
So their level of learning can increase, and I thought the children were given a disservice, because the curriculum, to me, during the last school year was reduced because it was all new, and we were thrust into it, and we had to adapt rapidly to get them to pass the class and meet the standards for the state and city level. Okay, I'm done.
That's good stuff. Don't be done. That's good stuff. You know, I mean, in many respects, part of the backdrop that I hear from that comment, and I really appreciate that, is really having, you know, a universal commitment by everyone around the issue of learning, and where folks can fit in, where they can, and try to get some more academic success. But it's almost making sure that everybody is thinking about that, whether you're a student, whether you're a parent or caregiver or what have you. It's in everyone's best interest that they be that this city, this community, be fully educated, no matter what your circumstances. But you have to create a mindset for that. You have to create a community mindset for that, where everybody's committed towards that. And that's kind of like the backdrop that I've heard in that particular comment. Brittany, who's next?
All right, next we're going to go to Seth, who's a healthcare professional.
Hi, how are you? So I wanted to ask, after a couple comments, first, let's put aside the myth. Children definitely get this disease. Recent research has suggested that they spread it more efficiently. I've read the synopsis of that paper, and it makes sense as to the reason they're giving that. So, you know, we can definitely mandate masks. As Carol said, you know, they're stacked on top of each other. Private companies kind of do what they want, so you can talk to those companies and you can educate them about what they should be doing. But, you know, we don't have the resources to police every single private company to get them to do everything that they should. So if we send kids back to school in any way, and I'm really glad to hear that Philadelphia school districts are taking a cautious approach, but if we send kids back to school in any way, some of them are going to get sick, and some of the ones that get sick are going to die. So let's start with that as just a reality that we're facing. So my question is this. Given that that is going to happen, what are we doing to assure that when kids do get sick and when the people that they are living with get sick as a result, that we are not then throwing them down an even bigger financial rabbit hole in terms of their medical bills? How do we guarantee that either the state of Pennsylvania guarantees those medical bills, or that if you're talking about private schools, that they're not immune to having to pay out compensation for people that get sick?
Well, you know, that's a good question. We need to each case is kind of individualized. Some children are on, and their families are on, some kind of public assistance. And so in that case, since we expanded Medicaid here in Pennsylvania under Governor Wolf, we have not completely, but a very high level of young people who have some significant level of health insurance, but that does not take in everyone, nor does it take in all of the costs associated with caring for someone who may contract the coronavirus. So let's make a commitment that the folks who are least burdened in this process are the folks who, in fact, get sick and are ill. They should not have to carry the burden of worrying about how their bills are going to be paid for and how that's going to be taken care of. They've got to focus on getting healthy. We as a broader community have to focus on getting healthy. One of the big resources, as I said in the beginning of the conversation, lies in the health resources that can come from the federal government right now to cities, to states, school districts, local communities, to get them additional resources to provide for a very significant health safety net as we deal with dealing with this this virus. That's why it's important that we advocated for the HEROES Act and the higher spending level so we can get those additional resources. But stay in contact with our office, 215-879-7777, or you can go to SenatorHughes.com, because we want you in our network as we communicate to folks about these issues, because this thing is not going away anytime soon, and it's going to impact every aspect, as it already has, of our reality. Tonight's focus is on education. That's why we've got Cassandra and Sandra and Dawn here as our special guests to deal with that, but I appreciate that question being raised because it's an important one. Brittany, let's go to the next caller.
All right, we've got another poll question first.
Our third
and final poll question tonight. Small group learning pods are when small groups of children receive instruction from a teacher outside of school, usually in a home or community site, for a fee. Would you be interested in sending your kids to a small group learning pod if partial or full funding were available? If the answer to that is yes, press 1. If the answer is no, press 2. And if you're undecided, press 3. Next, let's hear from Billy. He's in Strawberry Mansion.
Hi, Senator Hughes and guests.
What's up, Billy?
Hey, how you doing? I have a question. I have my son. He's with cerebral palsy, so he was with the mental aid education, and he went to Mansion, and I had pulled him out a month before they stop his kids from going because of his underlying health problems. And then they sent him his diploma. But my wife said he could have stayed in with education until he's 21, and he's like on a third grade level. So how can we make sure that he still gets some help from the school district?
Sandra, Dr. Jones, you got any thoughts on that one, Dawn?
I think the best thing we can suggest to Billy, and Senator, we may need to make sure we can get his contact information from you, is
right.
to connect
you know,
directly.
You know Billy Thompson. You know Billy Thompson, Sandra.
I know
okay?
Billy Thompson. Okay.
Yes, you do.
All right, Senator. Billy, how are you? I apologize.
All right. How you doing, Sandra?
Not recognizing you. I apologize. Well, to get you connected directly with the school district and the and through their academic office with their Office of Special Services, because that's a very specific need and situation you have, and we need to get you directed. They are responsible for continuing his program. Is he still in the school district?
Well, he were this year until they just sent him the diploma. My wife said they just sent him a diploma. So I said, what do you do? They kick him out of education? Yeah.
So we will follow up with you, Billy, because that's a very specific, a particular situation that we need to be able to help you with and get you connected with them, okay? And so, again, either directly, and I think we have your phone number, and we will do that, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, I have one more question.
Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead, man.
That need tutoring for the regular kids that need tutoring, would you have anything set up for them with the homeschool?
Well, that is what we are working on now. That is when we talk about this community plan, what we mean is what are the services we can offer, maybe setting ourselves up in a church, maybe setting ourselves up in a community organization, what kind of program or services would be helpful. Tutoring is one of them, and as you heard, one of the things we're thinking about is this idea of a learning pod, having small groups of children come together where we can connect them with a teacher or a facilitator or a mentor to give them supports outside of whatever they're getting in school. So that's one of the ideas we have, and from your question, I would assume you're thinking it's something that would be helpful?
Inside, I'm talking about not in the churches, I'm talking about at home. The ones that need the help, but they don't want to come to a church or to a small pod.
Okay, we may not. So we will, again, we can take that as a suggestion. We may not be, our idea is how we kind of do it from a more of a community base.
Mm-hmm.
But what we may be able to do is refer you to, tutors. There are people who do that for a fee who will come into the home and do tutoring. Again, in this era of COVID, the pandemic, that may be limited. So that's something else that we would need to follow up on, because what we're looking to do is how we can operate safely from some community sites.
So okay. Billy, and Billy, thanks for your question, because there's several other callers on the line who are asking Sandra and Dr. Jones and Dawn that same kind of question, the idea of getting extra help. Before we were all virtual, right? Out of that traditional time, that, on weekends, in evenings, what have you. And your idea, thanks, Billy. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Senator.
We'll reach back to you, bro. We'll reach back to you.
Okay.
The idea of having children and families having access to education experiences, no matter what their circumstances, no matter what their situation is, in many respects is what these pods are really all about. We should always be in the business of trying to get an education. We should always be in the business of trying to advance our circumstance. Can you go down that path a little bit more and help folks understand exactly what you're thinking about there?
Well, Senator, go ahead, Doc.
For the small learning group pods, you have groups of individuals. Some of them are families that decide to join together and go in a home, and they hire a tutor or teacher. They come in and they actually teach the children, 2 days a week, 5 days a week. It could be all day. As Sandra was saying, looking at expanding that, how could you make that available at libraries, community centers, recreation centers, because it would be expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Small learning pods could be anywhere from $65 an hour per child. And if you put two families together and have 6, 7, 8 children, you start mounting that cost. And so one of the things that we're actively looking at is if there was a subsidy or a way to do that, we want to make sure that this is not a good idea that if you don't have, you're not wealthy, you can't take advantage of it.
Right. No, that's very important. The idea is, it's almost, so we talk about universal healthcare, right? Universal learning, all right? In these pods, in communities, in libraries, in recreation centers. In addition to, from my vantage point, when schools open back up, that we should also have these to augment that experience. It should be available, from my vantage point, universally. All right, there should be no boundaries, no borders, no limits on when a child or a family member can get access to education, to get learning. And sometimes it's virtual, sometimes it's in the classroom physically, sometimes it's in a pod, in a community, in a library, someplace like that. So, it's I'm glad we're seeking this input because looking at the questions that are coming up, a lot of folks are asking those kinds of questions. So thanks, Billy. We'll hit you back, man.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Brittany. Who's our next caller?
All right, we actually got a good suggestion online that I want to share with everybody.
Okay.
Stacy says that many schools are or should be increasing the online training for teachers so that they can do things like control students' screens and do modeling for students over the computer. I wanted to share that one, and now we'll go back to a live caller. Let's hear from Linda.
Hey, Linda, how are you?
I'm good.
Very good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
My suggestion, and it's really a question whether this is possible, why aren't short instructional videos created? It goes back to what one of the previous callers said, where students who need to understand how to do a file upload or how to do submission, yes, you have Google Classroom and some of the other different learning platforms, but there's some very common needs that the kids are going to have to be able to have, and these kids use their phones, so something that one common site with short videos that they can pull up on their phone or their parents can pull up on their phone on how to do very commonly required activities like file submissions and how to deal with certain kinds of forms or screens would make a lot of sense. And that goes back to what the previous caller was talking about with Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to
yep.
do Zoom if someone's doing a short video would be quick and easy.
Okay.
So I'm just curious whether that's part of the plan.
What do you, Dawn, Dr. Yes. Jones, Sandra, what do you think?
Yes. So that's a great idea, and that is something that we are looking at, which is why with the Help Center that I made mention of earlier, one of the ways that you could access it could be virtually, where things could be uploaded or be able to be downloaded for information or over the phone. So sometimes it just is a need for someone to just pick up the phone and walk you through how to do something, or in person, of course, being socially distanced. The other thing that I just wanted, so it's a great suggestion. It's something that we're looking at, and we appreciate that recommendation, Linda. The other thing I just wanted to share with you, Senator Hughes, is that the State Department of Education in New Jersey, I don't know if you're aware of this, they have New Jersey TV Learning Live. And so I know one of the callers earlier made a suggestion about having educational programming on TV. That is something that we might want to look at, you know, discussing with the Pennsylvania State Department of Education. And basically, New Jersey TV Learning Live is daily lessons for grades 3 through 6, where it was an hour-long segment of lessons pre-recorded by teachers from their own homes. And so it was a way for kids, it's a way for kids to still be able to access learning and the support services that they need if they don't have access to internet or if they're having difficulty getting onto some of the virtual platforms through their computer or their phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Now, don't we, and I'm asking this question, don't we here in the city have a public school TV channel that folks can access if they have a cable system? Do we have that folks can utilize?
I'm not aware of a school district channel. I know that the city has a public access channel where you can watch city-related programming from the city of Philadelphia, but I don't know that there's one dedicated just for the school district or any of the other school systems in Philadelphia.
Okay. All right. I thought
Sandra or Dr. Jones, are either of you aware?
There used to be a school district channel, Senator, whether it is still active and the programming for it. I know that it had been getting less and less and less, as you are aware, because of budget issues. So
sure.
whether it's
mm-hmm.
still viable, I don't know. They did have a dedicated station. Maybe it could be reactivated with some funding. But again, there, as you know, one of the things we are working on is getting both public and private funding to do mm-hmm. some of these things. Some of the things we're talking about are not free to do. We want to be able
no,
to offer
not.
Them to the community free, but they will be a cost to do them. So part of the challenge for us is identifying the resources And so, Senator, of course, we're going to be coming to you and your colleagues for help with that and to the city, and we're also meeting with foundations. But we're going to need to be able to find the dollars to get to fund these kinds of supports. They're needed. They're necessary. These ideas are excellent, and it's a matter of then lining up the resources to put them in place and make them happen.
Okay. Well, that's an important point, and it actually goes back to my first point about needing to call Washington, because they are the entity right now that has all the resources that can be driven to local school districts, the city, the state of Pennsylvania, to fill some of these massive budget holes that exist. The School District of Philadelphia, as we all know, has been underfunded for I was going to say decades, but quite frankly, centuries. And we need to deal with this issue. All right, Brittany, we want to keep pulling up some of our callers. Who's next, Brittany?
All right, we got time for about one more, so let's hear from Dawn.
Good evening, Senators and everyone.
Good evening.
My question is, as an essential worker and a single parent, to do the stay at home with their rising for my children is all pretty much difficult for me, especially with my son's special needs. And as far as the food is concerned, are they going to be thinking about loading more food on the EPT card they sent out for these kids while they're at home learning? And my bill skyrocket?
Thank you, Dawn. Very, very, very good question. Very relevant question. The families are squeezed financially. Individuals are squeezed financially. And so is the city, the state, and the school district. All squeezed financially. Again, that's I hate to be so repetitive, but that's why it's important that folks call Senator Toomey to get as much money as possible out of Washington, D.C. to help do what is exactly it is that you asked to do, to provide more funds for families so they can get the food necessary, so that folks can have the food that they need, our children can have the food that they need, and their families can have the food that they need. As you can tell, throughout our communities, our food cupboards are struggling. We did get some extra money from Harrisburg driven out, but that it just isn't enough. We need more help, and Washington is where that extra money lies right now. So the more resources we can get out of them, the more resources we can drive, especially in the food side of the conversation, to feed kids, to feed family members. And quite frankly, a lot of our frontline workers, school teachers, what have you, they could use some extra resources in that space as well. Child care workers, all kinds of individuals involved with dealing with their children could use extra help. So I need the advocacy button pushed as well. I need the action button pushed as well to make those calls. The more resources we have, Dawn, the more we can drive out to relieve the burden, relieve the pain while we try to get through this coronavirus situation. Any of our guests have any responses for Dawn that you'd like to offer up right now?
Yes, Dawn, I'd like to make sure we have your contact information, because in the area of food, the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church, we have food that we give away every week, and we have not had to turn anyone away. So I want to make sure that we can get in touch with you tomorrow and let you know the days and the time. And you don't have to be a member of E9 to get the food. So we definitely can't do everything, but we can absolutely help with food.
We have worked with a program run by the Urban League of Philadelphia and they've driven food through a number of the churches all across the city of Philadelphia. Mount Carmel Baptist Church at 58th and Ray Street being one of them, where food is available. But again, we are, and this drives us to a much broader issue about how we get resources out and how we empower families. We need to be in the advocacy space and demand more for our communities. And the food piece is a perfect example of how our communities are under-resourced all across the board, from schools, from nutrition, in many, many, many different ways. But it's a resource conversation, and it's a priority conversation, Dawn. So thank you for raising that. We will make sure that we get you connected to Dr. Jones and Dawn and Sandra Dungey-Glenn, and so that you can have access and have that direct relationship, okay? All right.
All right, Senator, that's going to take us to the end of our time, I think.
Okay, yes, it's a few minutes after 7. So I'm going to ask for closing comments by Sandra and Dr. Jones and Dawn. If you could provide at least a minute each on some closing comments, and then I'll wrap it up.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you again. And these, first of all, this is Sandra Dungey-Glenn. I just want to say that we appreciate the thoughtful comments and recommendations that have come forward tonight. This is a work in progress. We've never been in this situation before. So much of what we are working to do is we're figuring it out as we go along. And so we, again, the input is so critically important. We are just at the beginning of the process of putting this in place. We have to get, first of all, the ideas, put it into a plan, and then begin to raise the support. Some of it can come from our community. Some of it was going to have to be monies that are raised to make these services available. So we will be working with Senator Hughes and our other leaders across the city over the next several months to put this in place. But we know it's urgent, it's critically important, and we can't fail our children. So again, I just want to thank you for this time, and we will be in touch with you as we continue this process.
Thanks, Sandra. Dr. Jones?
Just want to thank everyone. I am excited. I am encouraged. Many of the ideas that we heard in the recommendations are certainly things that we will follow up on and put into plan. And we, our children are depending on us, and we've got to figure this out. And so, Senator, what you said in the beginning, you know, we've got to make sure we make these calls. We've got to make sure that we're registered to vote. And we've got to make sure that we're following through and not just talking about it, but as you said, putting action to it. And so I am very grateful and thankful that you did this, and for the ideas and recommendations that we heard, I'm excited.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Appreciate you. Always good to hear your voice. Dawn Chavoux, any closing comments?
Yes, I just, again, would like to reiterate what my colleagues have already said. Thanking you, Senator Hughes, for your leadership in organizing and supporting tonight's town hall, because this would not have been possible without your leadership. I'd also like to just acknowledge the Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, which is a group of African-American leaders from across the city of Philadelphia who have come together to address and improve the quality of life for African-Americans throughout our city. And this is just another example of the work that we are doing, because we know that parents cannot do this alone, that guardians cannot figure this out alone, and that we as a community have to come together, work with each other, be on one accord to support our children. And even as a parent myself with a 3- and 5-year-old at home, I know the stress that is a result of trying to navigate virtual learning while also having to work. And so we want to do what we can as Philadelphia community stakeholders to support the children, to support the families who are in your district. And I would just like to encourage everyone to please go to www.senatorhughes.com to complete the survey, because without that information, we're not able to provide as many resources as we could. We need to hear from you to make sure that what we are putting in place meet the needs of the families who we are trying to support. So please, if you haven't completed the survey, please go to Senator Hughes's website. It's just www.senatorhughes.com to complete that survey so that we can get your feedback. And thank you all for participating in tonight's call.
Thanks, Dawn. Thanks, Dr. Jones. Thanks, Sandra Dungey-Glenn. Appreciate you all. I got to get to the action steps. If you haven't filled out your census, hugely important, 2020census.gov, 2020census.gov, 844-330-2020, extremely, extremely important. Vote by mail, let's get that done immediately. VotesPA.com, VotesPA.com, call 877-VOTES-PA, VOTESPA. Call Senator Toomey, Patrick Toomey, 202-224-2020. 3121-202-224-3121. Let him know that we, all of us, need the HEROES Act. That's where the extra unemployment compensation money is. That's where the extra money for our school children lies. That's where the money for all of the services, for the food, the nutrition programs, everything that we've talked about, that extra dollars are right there. It's necessary. The dollars to revitalize our communities, the dollars to revitalize our businesses, our small businesses, they are all right there. But he's on the fence, and he has said no, no to the HEROES Act, no to the $3 trillion. He thinks y'all are only worth $1 trillion. He's not on the case. We need to motivate him by phone calls to let him know to get on the case and support the funds that will support our communities, which happen to be his constituents, 202-224-3121. So, Brittany, I think I've taken care of all of my housekeeping. Do you have any housekeeping that you need me to take care of or you need to take care of?
Just one more, Senator. I want to thank everybody for participating tonight. And if you have additional questions or concerns, you can stay on the line. You'll be able to leave your comment in the voicemail for the senator, and someone from the office will get back to you. If you'd like to talk to someone in the office, you can call 215-879-7777 or visit the senator's website at senatorhughes.com. Again, thanks, everybody, for participating, and you've been a great audience.
All right. Thank you all very much. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.